bow with me as we pray, please? Father, we come to this moment when, having sung the praises of your name, we've joined with the angels before your throne in order that we might worship you and might proclaim to all of the heavenly host and the saints who have gone before us and those who have joined with us that we are part of your people. And we know that we are part of your people merely because we have trusted in Jesus to be our Savior and to be our Lord. We have given to him our life even as he has given to us his sacrifice, his life in our place. And so, Father, we come to acknowledge you, we come to praise you, and now we come to listen to you. And I pray, dear Lord, that by the grace of your Holy Spirit working in each of our lives, that our ears would be more open than ever before, our hearts would be tender before you, our minds would be concentrated upon what you have to say to us. And Father, then what, having spoken to us, we are called to be and to do. Father, I pray that the next minutes will not merely be a time in which we expand our knowledge or we're reminded of things we already know. But I pray that as we come to the end of these moments, having heard your word, I pray, dear Father, our response to you would be sure, would be quick, and would be yes. This I pray, Lord Jesus, to your honor and in your name. Amen. You be seated, please. And as you are, find your Bible or a copy of God's Word that's there in the pew in front of you and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Now, we're in the Advent season. We're in this Christmas season. And so you'll not be surprised that we are going to talk upon Christmas themes today, tonight, next week, and even on Christmas Day. And this morning, as we're looking at some of the characters of Christmas, I want you to look at, with me, the angels. In fact, I want you to come with me to understand a little bit about what an angel actually looks like. I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. Maybe I should rephrase that. I don't know if you've ever recognized an angel. You see, the Bible says that there are angels among us, angels working with us, angels that walk to protect us and to direct us at times. And I want you to understand who the angels are and see some of them even as they walk among us. The story is found, well, one of the stories of angels is found in chapter 2 and beginning with the wonderful story of the announcement of Jesus' birth. And so let me begin reading there. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census would be taken of all the inhabited earth. And it was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared, look at this, appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Angels. I got to tell you something about angels. In the history of the church, there have been times when angels have been overemphasized, over-talked about, overlooked for, but not in our day. In our day, I would suggest to you that angels generally aren't looked for enough, aren't talked about enough, aren't recognized for what they do and how they do it enough. So today, let's take a few minutes. In fact, today, tonight, we're going to talk about angels. And next week, we're going to talk about a very special angel known as the Angel of the Lord. All of it having to do with the Christmas theme. I want you to think with me about angels, because the truth is, angels are awesome. I mean, absolutely awesome. As we look at angels, I want you to know there are times when angels actually stand and turn entire armies away. Let me call your attention to a passage of Scripture found in the Old Testament. It's 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings, you get past Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you're going to come to 1 and 2 Kings after 1 and 2 Samuel. And we have the interesting story of a great man of God in 2 Kings chapter 6. His name is Elijah. And Elijah is this great man of God who's totally dependent upon what God is doing in and through him. And like everyone who stands for the Savior, there's going to be opposition. Now, what sometimes we don't understand is there's not only earthly opposition, there's heavenly opposition. And in this case, there's both. And so here's what's going on in chapter 6. Let me take you down to verse 8. Now, the king of Aram was warring against Israel. And he counseled his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware, you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the king of God, the man of God, had told him. And thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the head of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called the servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, is there a spy within the midst of our camp? And what they say is, no, there's not a spy, there's a man of God who is hearing from God, and he's warning the king of Israel. All right? And now in verse 13, so he said, go see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told to him, saying, he is in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now, Elijah has a servant. And the servant gets up in the morning to go get his copy of the Tennessean or the Herald Citizen or both. And when he does, he walks outside into his amazement. Look at verse 15. And when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Listen. So he answered, this is Elijah, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elijah prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all about Elijah. And when they came down to hill, Elijah, that's the other army, came down to Elijah. He prayed to the Lord, strike this people with blindness, I pray. So they struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And that's what God did with angels. Encircled this man of God and his servant and struck blind the entire army of the other king who was coming in order to attack him. Man, what a word from God. Sometimes there are angels about us in mass army and in force, and we do not see them. Oh God, help us either with the eyes of our flesh or the eyes of our faith to see those angels that circle about us. They are awesome. Sometimes they turn away armies. Often they protect saints. I mean, very often they are protecting saints. Now, once before we talked about who saints are, and saints are not beatified people who have died and gone to heaven. Saints are all of the men and women, young and old, who trusted Christ to be their Savior. The Bible uses a word that means to be set apart in order to describe you. And that word to be set apart is transliterated or translated to be the word saint. So you're a saint this morning if you know Jesus, if you're trusting in him, if you're following him as your Savior and Lord. And the Bible tells us that God often uses angels to protect and to minister to the saints. That's what he did for Elijah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Look over there with me, all the way to the back of your Bible, New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1. There's a description of angels. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Now, what you have in Hebrews chapter 1 is this wonderful description of how Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son, and therefore he has a place that is higher than the angels. But in telling us about that, he gives you a description of the angels in verse 14. He says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" Well, who are the people who inherit salvation? That's us, the saints, right? And who are these spirits he's talking about? He's talking about the angels. And the angels then are sent in order to minister and to protect the saints of God. So if you're a saint, there's debate, by the way, about whether people have a guardian angel or not. That is, whether when you're born, you have one particular angel who is given to you to guard and to watch over you. The truth of the scripture is that most of the time when you see the angels functioning in the position of guardians, protectors, and ministers of the saints, there's more than one. There's a whole bunch of them there. And so if you're a saint, God is protecting you with angels. Now, one of the things that the angels do is they worship mightily. And so you saw that as we read Luke chapter 2. In fact, if you get back to that pivotal passage this morning, what did the angels do? They came and they gathered together, and it says there's this whole heavenly host. And it doesn't actually say they sing, but we kind of take for granted they did. It says they began to say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men who are favored by God." And so angels worship. And they come before the Lord. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it talks about all of the angels before the throne of God. And they sing out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the Amen, the beginning and the end." And they're worshiping before God. And that's one of the things the angels do. They worship before the Lord. The other thing that they do, one of the other things they do, is they tend to show up at pivotal times. You know, just when needed, pivotal times. But not only in our lives, but throughout the Bible, what you find is they show up. Like, they show up, the Bible says that there was a mediation of angels when the law was given to Israel. Now, when we go back and read about it, we don't see all of the details of that, but we know that the angels were there even as God was laying down the law for Moses. We know that the angels were there when God was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and bondage and into the promised land. We know that the angels were there at that pivotal time in the moment of Elijah's life. We know that the angels were there when Jesus went through the temptation, and after the temptation by the devil in the wilderness, it says the angels were there ministering to him. And at this pivotal time, this moment at Jesus' birth, the angels take a pivotal place, Gabriel announcing that Mary is going to have a child, though she is a virgin. Gabriel sharing with John the Baptist's dad that this forerunner of Jesus is going to be born. And then here at the manger, the angels there announcing his birth and leading the way in worshiping him. They just show up at pivotal times. Pivotal times in the life of the church and in the life of God's people. I remember, in fact, I don't believe Salih or I will ever forget that that day when we were in Kill, Mississippi, and I was pastoring the church there, and we had a house that was right behind the church, and there a knock came on the door, and there was a black lady standing at the door, and she had a backpack with her, and she was pretty disheveled, As she looked at me, I opened the door and I said, "Can I help you?" And she said something like, I'm not quoting exactly, I don't remember exact words, but she stood there and looked at me and she said something like this: "The Lord said, wheresoever you find to lay your head, if they receive you, lay your blessing upon them. And if not, wipe the very feet, the dirt from your feet, and leave them." And I went, "What?" And she said something like that again. You know, it wasn't exactly King James out of there, but it was pretty close. And I didn't know what to do with her. I still don't know exactly who she was or what she was. And I did my best to minister to her that day and get her on to another destination. But, I mean, it was kind of weird. And it brings up that passage of Scripture which is found in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. You may not have time to turn there to mark it down. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. This is what the Word of God says: "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." And how often, I wonder, has God put us to the test with angels? Maybe they were dressed that day like waitresses, or perhaps they looked like a teller or a cashier at the bank, or maybe they were a transient that we drove by. But I'm telling you this, angels walk among us, and they show up at pivotal times within the life of the church, the life of God's people. They worship mightily. They show up at pivotal times. And also, they deliver messages. You know, that's the key here. In fact, this meaning of the word angel, in the Greek text, the word is angelos. In the Hebrew text, it is something that is pronounced like this: malak. And in both cases, the root meaning of angelos and malak is messenger. And so the angels of heaven take their title from a very earthly word, which merely means one who is an ambassador or a messenger of someone else, one who delivers the message. And that's what you see in the Christmas story, isn't it? They're there, they deliver the message to Mary, they deliver the message to Zacharias, they deliver the message to the shepherds, and they are delivering the message over and over and over again of the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is born to us a Savior. By the way, the word gospel means good news. And so when the angels were sharing the good news with the shepherds, they were sharing the gospel. They were being evangels, which is the word from which we get evangelization or evangelist or evangelism. And that's what the angels were doing. Now, I got to tell you something about the heavenly angels beyond these descriptions of them. They're not only awesome, they're very unique, okay? And I need you to know that, because angels are not what so many people get confused about angels being. They were specifically created. They were not part of the creation from Adam and Eve and the rest of the beings that settle on earth. In fact, we don't know at what point in time, or even before time, as we know time, the angels were created. But they were created as a separate heavenly being before the throne of God to give him service. Therefore, children aren't and do not ever become angels. So, yeah, I mean, it's okay to say, you know, she was a little angel today. Probably isn't so good to carry that metaphor further and go, "You're a little devil, aren't you?" It's probably not good. Truth is, children aren't either. Angels are devils. They're not demons. And no matter how mysteriously or how sweetly or how unintended or how tragically or how inopportune is the death of someone, and no matter how good they were before they died, a person doesn't die and become an angel. Last night on television was one of the great movies of the Christmas season. It was, for everyone who watched, what was the name of it? I knew you watched it because I found my wife watching it. It's A Wonderful Life. And I listened as Clarence. You remember Clarence? Clarence is getting dressed as they get them up out of the water where, you know, they jumped in the water and he's all wet. And he's got on this dressing gown. And he says, this is a wonderful dressing gown. My wife gave this to me. In fact, I was wearing this when I died. How many of you caught that? Yeah, a few of you caught it. Great. Well, great movie. Really, really bad theology. People don't become angels. They were created as a separate heavenly being before the throne of God to give service. They don't have wings necessarily. In fact, most of the time when they appear without wings. I know we see pictures of them with wings at the time of Jesus' birth. There's nothing there that says they have wings. There are pictures of the cherubim and the seraphim that are given to us, that is word pictures, in which they are described with wings, but they are a special kind of angel, apparently. Most of the time, they just simply look like men. In fact, Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. You might turn there. If you don't have time, just jot it down. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting there at the tent door in the heat of the day. Genesis 18, 2. Then he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing opposite him. Now that's what I want you to notice. That he describes them as three men standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And at the tomb, when Jesus was risen and they found him, it says there were two men there. Now, we are told in other aspects of their description that these men are actually angels, but the description of them as men tells us that at least in their appearance upon earth, they don't seem to have wings, and they are in the appearance of mankind. Interesting story. You not only need to know that they are unique, but they are terribly fallen, some of them. Not all of them, but the Bible indicates that angels fell from their place in heaven, and it is the angels that became the demons, the chief among them becoming who we know as Satan. Diabolos, the devil, Beelzebub. And the Bible indicates that he led a third of the angels. We don't know how many angels there are, but lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of them. And he led a third of them in rebellion against God. And one of the things angels do not have that we have is they do not have the opportunity of repentance. Jesus did not die on the cross for the angels. And those who fail from their place of authority and worship and service before God, they fail for all time. And in fact, the end of the story in the book of Revelation says that the lake of fire was developed for the devil and his angels. It's not a place where I want a condominium. I don't know about you. So a third of them fail. Not only that, they are optimally used. The Bible says that the angels, even to an extent, though they rebel against it, even the demons come under the purview of the authority of God, and they are used optimally in the life of believers and to do the things God would have them to do. The Bible tells us they're going to be separating the redeemed from the lost at the end of the age. When Jesus comes back, it says he'll come back with his angels. That's pretty cool. When we die, it says they usher us into the place of eternity. And we've already read that passage of Scripture that talks about ministering to the saints, showing up at pivotal times. So God uses them uniquely. I am convinced that God uses angels more than you and I are aware of. And I've begun to pray that way. Now, I don't pray to angels. Angels are not divine. They're not little gods. They are the servants of the Lord. But I want to tell you, I just got off some airplane flights this week. And before that, a few weeks ago, I was flying all over the world, as you know. And, man, when I get on the plane, I don't get nervous really anymore. You know how you do when you first start flying and that kind of stuff? I sit there, and I'm pretty calm because I know the Lord, you know, if he wants me, he can have me anytime he wants me. And so I'm not real worried about that, but I do pray about it. And one of my prayers is, Lord, I just pray that you would put your angels underneath the wings of this airplane. And that they would hold it up as it flies from one place to the other. And I believe he does that. In fact, I believe the Lord has done some pretty cool things in my life. When Salih and I were in seminary, we had a motorcycle. And we were riding on that motorcycle. She was real different back then. I'm going to tell you, she had tattoos all up and down her arms. Man, she'd sit back on that Harley and... Okay, so we had a little Yamaha 400. And we came around a curve, and I don't have time to tell you the whole story. Some of you have heard it before, and as we did, a car came up over the hill, and it was in a blind spot, and we didn't see it. And suddenly, we were there, turned this way, and the car coming this way, it was back in the days when they still had metal bumpers. You remember those? That metal bumper took my leg right between it and the engine block of the motorcycle and just went. I looked down and I was facing north and my foot was facing south. It was a scary thing. But I want you to know, though the Lord allowed us to be in that wreck, we had no other scratch upon us. Now, the motorcycle got hit, went down on the pavement. We went down with it. I'm telling you, not even the palm of my hand was scraped from putting it on the cement. How'd that happen? Well, I have believed since that day that though the Lord allowed us to go through that trauma and that trial in our life, the angels were there, and they held us and set us down gently. I don't know. But I'm convinced of this, that more often than we know, there are angels in our lives, working in our lives. When we get to heaven, if God lets us look back over a movie of our lives, there are going to be times we came to intersections when we went, I'm glad my brakes worked, when your brakes did not work. And some angel stood there. Stop that car. I'm convinced of it. Now, here's something else I'm convinced of, and this is the point of the whole message today. Though heavenly angels are uniquely created and used, God still says you can be an angel. Not a heavenly angel and not an angel when you die, but an angel nonetheless. Remember what the word means? Angelos. Remember what it means? It means a messenger, one sent. And if you read through the Bible in the original languages, or you got a Bible study help that will help you do that, what you will find in the Word of God is the word angelos is not only used to describe these heavenly beings that are sent from heaven to God, but it is used of men. It describes men. You remember that passage of Scripture when in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is giving us the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Man, he is asking that you and I in that prayer become like the angels who hear the voice of God and immediately obey. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who's he talking about in heaven? He's talking about the angels. And when Jesus speaks in heaven, man, the angels do it. When Jesus sends, they go. When he says, do this, they do it. They never pause. They never ponder. They never wonder if that's a good idea or a bad idea. God says, do it, and no debate. They simply do it. Therefore, men are described as angels. In 1 Kings chapter 19:2, it says, Jezebel sent a messenger, and it's the Hebrew word that we use to describe angels. In Luke chapter 7, verse 24, it says, when the messengers of John left, and it's the word angelos that's used there. And in Luke 9:52, again, he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements. And the word messengers, again, is angelos, but it's not talking about the heavenly messengers. It's talking about the people that Jesus sent ahead of him. So I don't want you to get me wrong. You're not going to die and become an angel, but you can, just like you're a saint now, you can be an angel. In fact, here's what I got for you. When you leave today, you may pick up what I have in my hand. It is a certificate of the angelic order. Yes. This is to certify, and you can put your name here. has acted as an angel of the gospel during the week of December 6th through the 13th. That's what's coming ahead. And how do you do that? You do that by sharing the good news of salvation. That's what angels do, right? Ministering to the saints of God. That's what angels do, right? And worshiping at the throne of God. Because that's what angels do. You see, you can be an angel in worship, right? I spoke to you of Revelation 5:11. Then I looked and heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them myriads upon myriads and thousands upon thousands, saying in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And it's talking about worship. And so when you enter into heartfelt worship, worship in spirit and truth, worship in which you are engaged with the Word of God and going before the throne of God in praise and in prayer, you are angelic in nature. You want to be an angel? Man, worship. Not only that, an angel in ministry. What do we say angels do? I mean, one of the characteristics of their calling in their life is they minister to the saints in protective ways and in caring ways, even like they did unto Jesus. And when you do that, you are angelic in behavior. In fact, I want to point out some angelic people to you today. Can I do that? I'm going to ask, if you work in the office of First Baptist Church, I want you to stand up wherever you are. Let me see. Yeah, look at them. Look at there. Those are angels among you. I gotta tell you. Now, let me ask you this question. If you are part of our visitation shut-in team, that is, sometimes you go and visit shut-ins as a ministry of this church, I want you to stand up wherever you are. Stand up. There's a bunch of you. Stand up. Let me see. There's some. Come on. Out in the corner. Angels. Angels among us. How about those of you who visit our hospitals in the name of the church or work as a volunteer, seeing it as part of your ministry of God? You wear the pink aprons and stuff. You work at the hospital. Stand up, wherever you are. Let me see you. Stand up. There are a bunch of you. There you go. Angels, I tell you, as they stand up. How many of you have ever been to the Cookeville Rescue Mission to minister to some of those who are down and out there and stopping by, and you shared food with them, and you worked to prepare and share the Word of God with them? You are part of that ministry down there. Stand up. Let me see you. Stand up. Look at that. Angels. Angels among us. I'm telling you, angels there. How about those who work and volunteer at the Cookeville Pregnancy Center? Stand up. Let me see you. Where are you? Look at that. Angels. 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 How about those who have visited the Genesis House or worked with our food pantry ministry over there? If you've ever done that, stand up. Let me see who you are. Stand up. Now, I know there are some of you around here. Mike, you're one of those. There you go. There you go. I know they don't look like angels, but they are. How about if you volunteer? Now, I know this in a way is everybody, but I'm looking for those people who volunteered here at the church, accepting, packing, stacking, putting on trucks, all that Operation Christmas Child stuff, so that they could send that as a ministry to children all over the world with the gospel in it. Stand up if you did that. Let me see you. Stand up all around. Look at this. Angels. Angels. Angels, I tell you. Some of your spouses are sitting there, yeah, right. But that's angelic activity. And finally, an angel is one who shares the evangel. That is, they share the gospel. That is, angels who worship before the throne of God. That would be probably all of you. Blow your trumpets, angels. Sound your harps, angels. Choir, use your voices. Angels of ministry, people who have understood that if you really want to walk in Christ, you not only encounter Him in worship, but you engage in the ministry and the mission of what God is doing through the church or even outside the church, but because you're part of the church, that's an angel thing. And in everything, announcing the birth and the message of salvation that came in Christ in the birth of a manger. Some of our happy tones, they're angels. They go out ministry. If you're part of the happy tones, stand up. Let me see you. Stand up. Let me see you. Wow. Amen. This past week, while they were out ministering, one of them looked at someone who was sitting over in the corner weeping as they sang and went over and shared the gospel with them. You told me this morning, and that person indicated they were praying to receive Jesus. That's angelic activity, my friends. Angelic. So I'm asking you, in this Christmas season, don't you want to be an angel? I'm serious. I got one of these certificates for all of you. Don't leave without an angel certificate. Write your name in it, but only if, on the back, you can check a box. It says, I shared the gospel with. Now, find a way to share the gospel this week. That's what an angel would do. Let somebody know that Jesus loves them, that he died for them. You may not go through the entire plan of salvation, but announce that Jesus loves them. Two, I ministered physically to somebody this week. That'd be a visit to the nursing home or hospital or somebody you know in need, or you carry something to somebody. It could be at work. You minister to somebody there. Wherever it is, I ministered in a physical way. That is, I did something tangible for somebody this week in the name of Jesus. And then I worship before God's throne this week. If you can do that, then man, you are certified angelic. And you're going to want this at some point. Because some point you're going to get stopped by the police or something. And you're going to wish you had one of these certificates filled out, notarized. But officer, I'm an angel. You are. You can be. Let's stand. Would you stand with me? Listen, you can't really be an angel until you're a saint. And you're not a saint by becoming good enough to be sanctified. You are made a saint by the blood of Jesus who died on the cross for you. Are you willing to be a saint and then an angel? If you've never trusted in Christ, never followed through in baptism with him, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. And so this invitation is for you. Some of us will be here at the front, and if you would come and say, yes, God's leading me, I want to be a believer. I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to him. Won't you step out and come forward, share that with us. Let us show you how you can receive Jesus Christ this morning by faith as your Savior. Maybe God's leading you to be a part of this congregation in the same way. Come and share that with us as we stand here at the front and as we sing. Others will come and simply kneel in prayer. However God is leading you, you come as we sing. And if God is leading you to be an angel, you may want to make a commitment of that right here at the altar and say, God, you know, in this area of worship, I'm pretty good. In this area of ministry, I'm pretty good. But I'm pretty lousy at sharing the evangel. Won't you help me to do that? Or maybe it's one of the others. But if God's leading you, you come right here and pray. As we sing together, whatever God is leading you to do, you come as we sing.